Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Kathleen Mulcahy, who's the director of the Evelyn Alexander Wildlife Rescue Service Center, and she's backed up by Missy Hargraves, chairman of the board. I had a couple of questions about the rescue center. I know it's located. I've not been there, at least that I know of. I've been to the park there. How is the park separate from the center in the old park where you used to have horseback riding and stuff like that?
Well, the park very generously gives us the space, leases us for no money, the space to have our hospital and our center and our education animal cages.
Is the center a new building or is it a building reused?
It was an old building. It's been renovated within an inch of its life, and we are busting out of the seams already on it. But there was a structure there when we started, and we keep adding on to it, and we hope to be able to either add on to it some more or create a separate structure that would be an education area.
Is it a building over 1,000 square feet, or is it a small facility, and is it on acreage that is rented?
So it's part of the park. They don't really separate. I mean, they sort of separate where our footprint is. It's probably a little under 1,000 square feet, the building itself, and then we have cages for all of our education animal birds, and we have a separate cage for our fox, our education fox, and we are raising money this summer to build a couple of mammal cages for our Alan McButterpants, who is our resident groundhog, very popular at the center, as well as Squirrely the squirrel, who's been with us for a couple of years in the back, but we'd like to be able to bring him out to meet the public as well.
Well, it's a rescue center. How many creatures have you rescued or are there under rehabilitation currently, and what's the capacity?
We are at capacity right now. We have rescued this year alone over 850 animals. We have 35 baby raccoons in there at the moment. You have a wonderful story about them in this week's Dan's Papers. And we also have numerous baby squirrels and baby possums and a family of 6 baby groundhogs. In addition, we have probably about 40 birds in the center of different ages, including an osprey that was rescued on Monday and will be released on Friday, which is a wonderful story we're very happy about.
Tell us about that.
So we got a call Monday morning about an osprey hanging upside down from fishing line from its nest at the end of Maidstone Park jetty. There's a jetty that comes out from Maidstone Park into Three Mile Harbor, and a lot of fishing goes on that jetty. And then at the end, there's a pole out in the water. And the osprey, it seems, has been taking all the fishing line that people leave behind as they cut it off their fishing poles and adding that to its nest, thinking it's nesting materials. And then must have had a restless night and woke up tangled and fell out of the nest upside down. So we had various volunteers immediately go to help, as well as we got Marine Patrol to come over, and they got a boat out there, and 2 Marine Patrol people kept the boat steady and kept our volunteer steady as she climbed up to the top of the flybridge and onto the ladder and cut the line that was holding the osprey, and then was able to grab it, bring it down, get the rest of the line off. And then he came in for watching and observation. And we are going to release him Friday morning, right after tomorrow's going to be a little stormy. So we can't release him tomorrow, but we're going to do it Friday morning.
And this is a particularly big deal because osprey don't do well in captivity. They are very picky eaters. And we've had several, at least three similar incidents where the osprey had been wrapped up in fishing line that's been left behind by fishermen. So it's important that we get the message out that fishermen and fisherwomen dispose of their lines properly.
Well, but then the osprey himself, he must have been pretty mad.
He was fighting mad, which is a good sign. We were very happy that when we got him in the cage, he was like, yeah. So it's great. We're very happy. We just put a call out to every fisherman we know for some fresh porgies to get them through the next 2 days. And we'll set them free on Friday morning.
It's a great story also in that it takes a village sometimes to do these rescues. I've been on other osprey rescues where fire trucks have shown up. You said that there were several people who responded immediately. Mm-hmm. And it's heartwarming to know that there are those people in the community who really do care. And even if you just pick up the phone and call it in, and I will plug our telephone number, which is 631-728-WILD, which is 9453. We will come for any animal. If we can talk you through it, if it's something as simple as replacing a nestling back in the nest, or fawns, for example. We have a lot of calls for fawns this time of year. And most often, I would say, the fawns don't need help. The mothers leave them during the daylight hours, and the fawns have no natural scent. So they don't attract predators, which at this point would really only be dogs. So the mothers go out and feed during the day, and also to draw attention away from the fawns. So my favorite kind of rescue is the non-rescue, where someone calls in about a fawn. I will go over, or one of our volunteers, just to make sure. And we have the wonderful opportunity of explaining the fawn situation. Now, if you do see a fawn that has blood, flies, or is lying on its side like a dog would lie down, then the fawn needs help. But you can call us either way.
Mm-hmm. And that number is 24/7 too.
You deal with creatures that come ashore from like seals and things?
We do not. That goes to the Riverhead Marine
Station
For the seals. We do the sea birds. So seagulls, ospreys, et cetera, but not the sea mammals.
Yeah, I had an incident. I was at the time living on Lumber Lane in Bridgehampton, in one of those big mansions before you get to the tracks, and looked out from my front porch, and there was a bird that was brightly colored in all the colors of the rainbows. It had a parrot beak. It was about 5 or 6 feet sitting on a branch. It clearly came from Central America. I'd been in Guatemala. I thought it was a quetzal, but it was much larger. And that was one of the strangest sights I've ever had. I'm sure somebody had just got loose, and we called that in. People came, and eventually it flew away. I don't know whether they got it somewhere else or not, but that was a long time ago. But that's a memory that I have of this sort of situation. One of the, I think, more sadder things that happened not long ago was when, and I just want to mention this because it's sort of resolved in some way, when it was in the winter, some bullets hit the building from hunters nearby the center, which is just the exact opposite of what you're trying to do. And I think you tried with the county or with some or other organizations to get some kind of protection for that. And ultimately, I don't think it worked out. And it's just, that's what humans are doing right now in a lot of situations. The other day when I called you, Kathleen, you told me you were on your way to Amagansett to help an owl. I think
we did. We did an owl rescue at the Amagansett School about 2 weeks ago. A nestling fell out of the nest, and we were able to get. Again, it takes a village. We had four different volunteers: one with a truck, one with a ladder, one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we got it back up in the nest. And then we are doing a education event at the Amagansett School. And it was actually supposed to be today, but just got postponed, where we're going to teach the entire school all about the owls. So we're bringing three of our education owls to the Amagansett School. All the kids will be there. The folks who rescued or helped re-nest the baby owl will be there. And we'll talk about owls and their babies and the way that babies grow up and leave the nest and everything else.
It's also a great opportunity to dispel the rumor that birds or other animals will not take their babies, their young, back if they've been touched by humans. And what I like to liken it to is if you went to Walmart or Kmart and you lost your kid and somebody came and said, "Here's my kid." If you would welcome that kid back. Wildlife does the same thing. Let's get those babies back.
Yeah. Just another story comes to mind for me was when I first got here, which was about 20, 18 years old, and I was on Newtown Lane and I was with my dog. And at that time, dogs ran free. And he was running along, having a good time. And I would talk to someone there and he's gone. And so a lot of people were then running up and down Newtown Lane, calling out the name of my dog, which was Scampy, which is pretty awful. And finally, the butcher from the town supermarket came out with the dog saying, "Yeah, he was having a great time in here." That would be, you could get arrested for bringing a dog into a supermarket today. That's how things have changed. And there were, at that time, there were dogs that used to follow mailmen on the routes.
Yeah.
It was a big funeral for one of them in Southampton once the whole town turned out practically.
Anyway. Well, I think Scampi ran away because of his name.
Yeah, well, I got him. That was his name when I got him. I got him at a rescue place. So he was a great dog. Anyhow. How long have you been, the Wildlife Rescue Center been there? How long have you been in operation?
I think it's been now 23 years. And we were started by a lovely woman named Virginia Fratty, who loved wildlife and decided that we needed a hospital here on the East End. And we are the only wildlife hospital on the East End.
What equipment, what medical equipment do you have to help out?
We have x-ray machines. We have oxygen machines. We have so many incubators that we have to always upgrade our electric and pay a very large electric bill, especially in the spring and early summer. But we are always looking for more donations to pay for equipment like that. We have number of licensed rehabbers who work for us full time, and they work in this time of year, they are working 12, 13, 14 hour days and then bringing babies home with them to feed them at 2 a.m. for the 2 a.m. feeding.
Kathleen, you're the director, and what experience have you had prior to this time? Where are you from originally?
I'm from pretty much out here, Port Washington during the winter and East Hampton during the summer. We came out every summer and every weekend of my life. And then in 2001, my husband and my two children and I moved out here full time. I unfortunately had to continue commuting to New York, but they had a great time living out here. And I was home as much as possible. And then I came out full time about 10 years ago. And have worked for Guildhall and I was the executive director of Fighting Chance. And I was also lucky enough to be the mayor of Sag Harbor for a couple of years.
And she is great at her job. She dived right in. And in March, was it you started?
March 1.
And has learned so much about wildlife and brings her experience from her past lives. And we're really excited to have her here. And we have our big annual event on August 2nd at the Southampton Arts Center. Very excited. We've got some great sponsors. We're looking for more and auction items. And it's a really fun event. And we bring our ambassador animals so you can see the animals up close. Yeah.
Yep.
Who are you bringing?
Well, we're bringing Al McButterpants, of course, the groundhog, and Meep, the great horned owl, and probably a couple of the raptors, Millennium, who is a peregrine falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Cloud, our red-tailed hawk.
And Vlad.
And then Vlad. Vlad is our turkey vulture. And similar to your scampi, Vlad, Vlad came to us after being hit by a train in Hampton Bays, and we rehabbed him, and he was released. We thought he was ready to go, but he decided he really liked people. So he kept coming to all the seafood restaurants in Hampton Bays and would sit right down, would fly up, and a turkey vulture, he's got a 6-foot wingspan and a bald red head, and he's quite dramatic looking.
Yes.
And he would fly up and sit down next to people on a picnic bench and ask for french fries in a way that you could not say no. So finally the restaurants called us and said, you gotta do something here, he's scaring people. And we went and got him, and we saw it was Vlad, and we brought him back to the hospital, and he's now one of our really big attractions at the center because he is so dramatic and so friendly.
So I gather that some of who you rescue are stayed and want to stay.
For one reason or another, like Vlad being too comfortable with people. Others have had injuries that just make them that they can't fly. We've had to amputate wings on some. Others have had eye injuries so they can't see to hunt. The fox was actually born in captivity and just never, you know, would not survive in the wild. So we finally adopted her. So different reasons.
How did you know she wouldn't survive in the wild?
She was just too friendly with people and dogs. And, you know, she doesn't know to be afraid of people or dogs or anything else. And we didn't want her to become a coat.
But it's not our policy to keep the animals. Our goal is to rehab, release.
Yeah. Well, you know, you might want to, I have an idea for you, is just occurred, is something with the big duck.
Oh.
You could do something around it. I'm not sure what you could do. I just thought it's nearby, you know.
I like that. That's a fun idea.
Those that are unfamiliar with that, that's about a 25 or 30 foot tall white cement duck. That was a man who was selling ducks from his farm by the side of the road and wanted to attract people to stop and buy ducks, I guess, something like that.
Yeah, when I was a little girl and we would drive out from Port Washington, it was before the Sunrise Highway extension, so we would come out through, boy, am I aging myself, through Riverhead.
Yeah.
We would stop there and get duck eggs and ducks and...
I remember two things about that. Maybe you remember this one. They had a low power FM broadcast going for a while that you could hear as you approached in a car from about a mile away.
That's right. And yep.
Christie Brinkley was telling you all about the big duck. And what it was for and how it was built and all of that. And also before that, this one I'm sure you don't remember, was there were little signs along the side of the road elsewhere that were advertising Burma Shave.
Sure.
After another. And they had that set up for a while as well.
About it coming up to the ducks. Yep. Now it is a iconic landmark without a doubt.
Well, just a thought. And with that, to say goodbye, it's been nice to have you on the podcast, and I've enjoyed it, and I will stop by and have a look.
Well, thank you. And thank you also, you know, you have a reporter who comes once a month and does a story on our education animals, and they've really been fabulous. So thank you so much for your support from Dan's Papers and your personal support of the Evelyn Alexander Wildlife Rescue Center.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.